Welcome to Burnside at Home. This is the audio version of our service, which is broadcast online. Thanks for joining with us. It's Richard here. And today is a very special time as we worship together. We're giving thanks for the harvest, and I'll be explaining a little bit about some of the ways that we're practically giving thanks in a moment or two. As usual, in this audio version, there are no songs. I do apologise about that, but for copyright reasons, we can't include them in this recording. But hopefully, as you hear the prayers and the readings, you will feel part of our worship as we offer to God our thanksgiving. And wherever you happen to be today, give thanks to God. I know it's difficult times, and there may be things that you're worried and concerned about, but there's also much that we can give thanks for. So, welcome to Burnside at Home, and let us worship God together. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thanks for joining with us today. This is our Harvest Thanksgiving service that you're a part of today. And I wonder, do you even really feel like giving thanks today? There is so much that has happened over the last 6 months. Are you in a position where you want to give thanks to God? Obviously, we're in the grip of this coronavirus pandemic that's sweeping across the world. We're also in the middle of an economic downturn. There are so many restrictions on normal daily life, the wearing of masks, keeping socially distant whenever we go into shops and we go to coffee shops, being restricted in how we can visit our friends and spend time with them, being restricted in how we mourn with those who have lost loved ones, being restricted in how we can visit in hospitals and in care homes. And all of these things in our lives at the moment, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, do we want to give thanks at this harvest time? Harvest is always a time whenever we do give thanks for the harvest. We give thanks for God's provision for another year. But it's also a time whenever we give thanks generally to God, and we thank Him for the way that He's been with us. We thank Him for the things that He's been doing in our lives. We thank Him for the blessings that He's given to us. And I know from talking to many of you that the last 6 months have indeed been incredibly tough. And yet there have always been little things that we can give thanks to God for throughout that time. And you have shared many of those things with me, how somebody just turned up at the moment that you really needed them, how somebody phoned you just whenever you were down and you need it picked up, or someone was able to help out in a situation that you weren't expecting. And in all those ways, God has blessed. So today we give thanks. We give thanks to Almighty God for His provision for another year. We give thanks for the harvest. And we acknowledge how difficult things are, and we pray for God's blessing in the future. There are a couple of practical ways that we can give thanks today. At last week, you remember that we launched our shoebox appeal. You remember all the shoeboxes that were sitting on the table behind me? And I have to say, we've been remarkably surprised at how many folk took the shoeboxes and are filling them up. And I know that some of you are going to be doing that online as well, and there'll be a link where you can go to the Samaritan's Purse website and fill a virtual shoebox if you would like to. But thank you to everyone who's doing that. Thank you to everyone who took one of the boxes last week and bring those back by the beginning of November. Then also today, being harvest, we think of the produce that God has provided us with. And there's an opportunity to bring along non-perishable food items to church today. And those will be given to the Ashes to Gold Food Bank in Coleraine. Ashes to Gold is a Christian charity that works with those who have mental health issues and various other vulnerable people within society. And the food bank is there in their premises on Abbey Street in Coleraine, and they help those with mental health issues. They also help the Women's Refuge, which is located up Castle Rock Road in Coleraine as well, and that's helping the whole local community. And so any food items that you bring along to church will be sent to that food bank. And you can also just donate items to Ashes to Gold as well if you happen to be passing at the premises there in Coleraine. So today in our service, we're going to be giving thanks, acknowledging that things are difficult and there's lots that we don't give thanks for, but there is so much blessing that comes from God. Throughout our service, we're going to be thinking about Joel chapter 2 and also Matthew chapter 6. They're going to be read for us later on in the service. In a few moments after we pray, we're going to sing We Plough the Fields and Scatter. Then after the Bible readings, we're going to sing Jesus is Lord before we look together at God's word. But let's be reminded of some of the words from the prophet Joel, where the prophet tells us, be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green, the trees are bearing their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. So the whole of creation points us towards God, points us towards God's provision for us. So do not be afraid today. Rejoice. And be glad in the Lord. So let us bow together in prayer. We gather today, O Creator God, before you. We are your handiwork. We are made for your glory. And we gather today in the midst of your creation, your beautiful, awe-inspiring creation. May we hear your invitation today. Your invitation to care for the things you care about, to delight in the wonders of your world, to join you in renewing creation. We join with all creation to glorify you, our Maker and our God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that he hath need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Today in our Harvest Thanksgiving, we want to give thanks to God in our prayers for others. We want to remember the needs for others as well. We want to give thanks for your generosity in your offerings in whatever way they come into our congregation. We greatly appreciate them. And then also for the food that will be brought today for the food bank as well. So let's give thanks to God as we pray. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the offering today. We thank you for all who give, and we pray for your blessing. We ask, Lord, that all the money that is received would be used wisely for your kingdom here and in other places. We give you thanks, Lord, for the way that we have been able to give food today towards the food bank and Ashes to Gold. And we pray for Ashes to Gold, and we thank you for their work with those who have mental health issues and those who are vulnerable in society. We pray, Lord, that as they reach out with your good news, this practical way of helping will also be a ministry of your grace. And so, Lord, we pray for all those volunteers and helpers with Ashes to Gold, and we pray that you would use them in your name. Lord God, we want to give you thanks today. We want to give you thanks for the harvest once again and your provision for us. We thank you for the farmers who work hard all year. We thank you, Lord, for the shopkeepers and for the supermarkets who have remained open during the pandemic and enabled us to get the necessities for life. And we thank you, Lord, for all those shop workers who have worked under difficult circumstances to provide day by day. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all those who are in business at this time, and that you would grant them success and grant them all that they need day by day. Lord, thank you for the medical professionals. We pray that they would be used wisely with their skills and their efforts. We pray for government today, Lord, and ask that you would give them wisdom as they bring in and release restrictions. May they know the right things to do. But Lord, we realize that the answers to our problems are not met in government officials, are not even met in medical professionals. But we know, Lord, that the answers are found in you. And so today, as we bring our thanksgiving and our praise to you, we look to you for your glory and your honor. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible reading today is from Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 27. And in this passage, the prophet is giving God's word and a promise that not just the people will be restored, but the whole of creation will be restored. So let us hear God's word. Surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. Amen. Harvest is a good time for us to focus on the world that God has made. It's a good time for us to think about what God has given to us, and then to give thanks to God and to worship him, and to think about our relationship with the world that we're living in. Because God's provided us with this wonderful planet for us to live on. And sometimes, you know, we just take it a wee bit for granted, don't we? We just accept it. And especially at the moment, whenever we hear about all the environmental concerns, we wonder to ourselves, are we really treating this planet as good as we should be doing? Because here God's provided us with everything that we need, the food, water, shelter, and so many other resources. And this world not only provides for us, it also teaches us about who God is and what God has done. And that's something that perhaps we forget sometimes, that everywhere we look, we see lessons as to who God is. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So as we look about creation, we see the things that otherwise are hard to explain and hard to understand. God's eternal power, his divine nature, all these wonderful things are displayed for us in nature. Creation speaks out. To be able to walk along a beach or through a forest reminds us of God's creation. And there are many who would say, you know, I meet God in nature, but they don't want to come to church to worship. They say, well, I can meet God whenever I'm out and about in nature. And there is a certain amount of truth in that, that we can meet God. But if lockdown and these last 6 months have taught us anything, it's a fact that that is not good enough. That we need more than just being able to see God in nature. We need fellowship with one another, because we've all been created in God's image, and therefore we can all teach one another about God and who God is. That we need God's people as well. So there are these two things, all part of God's creation, that God has given to us to reveal who he is and what he has done for us. In the Sermon on the Mount that we read together, a short section from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus invites us to take a closer look at creation. And that might be a challenge for us, because maybe you're not getting out and about as much as you once were. But there are still opportunities that we have to see God's work in creation. And Jesus tells us, well, look at creation, look at what God has made, and learn some vital lessons from it. Look at the birds of the air, look at the grass in the fields, look at the plants and the flowers. And in all those ways, you'll see how much God provides and how much God cares. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 26 and 28, look at the birds of the air, see how the flowers of the field grow. He's basically saying to us, look, open up your eyes, look at creation, look at what God has done, look at the magnificence, the splendor, the beauty. God's world is speaking to you. So what can we learn by paying attention to this world that God has made? By looking at the animals and the plants, looking at the natural processes all around us. What can we learn about God? Perhaps that was one of the blessings of lockdown, was the quietness and the stillness and being able to notice things about nature that perhaps we hadn't seen for years. That nature was amplified. There was no traffic to drown out the noise of the birds that were singing. The beach was empty and you could walk along it and you could hear the waves crashing and roaring. And you could stand maybe just outside your house and you could hear the sea because it was so loud. And you could hear that right throughout the day rather than just first thing in the morning whenever everything's quiet. So all of God's creation is screaming out lessons about God. So what do we learn about God from creation? Well, I want to suggest today that we learn that God cares for his creation. God has created all this, and he cares for creation. He looks after it. Jesus says that if we look at creation, we'll see that God is constantly providing and caring for it. He's feeding the birds of the air. He's clothing the flowers of the field. He cares about everything that he has made, and he's at work allowing life to flourish and allowing life to develop. He's putting all these things in place. He hasn't just created and then walked away. He is involved in every part of it. And of course, we can explain many of those things from scientific terms, but at the same time, it is God that has set all those processes in place. We believe that God is ultimately behind the complexity of creation, providing for us, sustaining us, keeping this planet a safe place for us to live and to thrive, protecting us from all the other things that are out there that could come and destroy life here on earth. And Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6, are you not much more valuable than they? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? God cares for his creation. He cares for you and for me. And you may not feel like giving thanks today, but there is so much that we can still give thanks to God for, because he cares for us. We have a special place in God's heart. We are God's image bearers, created in his image, unlike any other part of creation. But we have this wonderful privilege in God's position. But God still cares for every other aspect of creation as well, the birds and the plants and everything else. He cares for it all because he's lovingly created it and he looks after it. Perhaps it might even be true to say that when Christians have overemphasized the uniqueness of humans before God, we've begun to mistreat the rest of creation. We put ourselves on a pedestal, which is right. We are special. I'm special because God has loved me. He hasn't sent Jesus to die for anyone else. But we need to remember that God cares for all of his creation. Then the second thing as we look at creation today, and the second lesson that we learn, is creation is groaning. God cares for his creation, yes, but creation is groaning. The Bible is clear that human sinfulness affects not just our own hearts and our own lives and our relationships with those around us, but it also affects the very earth that we live on. And we saw that back in Genesis at the fall when Adam and Eve sinned. And not only were their lives changed, but the whole earth was changed as well. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, for the creation was subjected to frustration in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So whenever we sin, the world was frustrated. The world started to decay. This perfect creation that God put in place started to fall apart bit by bit because of sin. And the world is groaning at this time. Creation is groaning with this message that things are not right. Things are not as they should be. The world is not the way that it was originally created. Sin has come in and changed all of that. And therefore, we know that something is wrong. We don't have to look very far to see evidence of the frustration and the groaning. Our news reports are full these days of plastic in the oceans, of species being driven to extinction, the pollution in our air, the destruction of habitats for animals and for humans as well, poisoned waterways. The list goes on and on and on. In all these ways, creation is groaning. And our selfish priorities leads to destructive living. And Jesus criticizes us when we worry more about our own needs instead of pursuing God's priorities. And so we need to make sure today that as we give thanks to God, that we look to his priorities rather than our own selfishness. In Matthew 6 again, Jesus says, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Those are the wrong priorities according to Jesus, for the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what we need. So therefore, those things are not our priority. Our priority should be something else. Our priority should be God's kingdom, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will fit into place. So creation is groaning. God knows what we need. He cares for us and promises to provide for us. He wants us to take our eyes off our own selfish priorities and put our eyes on him and his priority, his kingdom, his righteousness, and to follow him. And then finally today, I want to also say that not only does God care for his creation, not only is creation groaning, but then finally God is renewing his creation. And this is perhaps part of the gospel message that we don't emphasize enough. Because we've just thought about how sin entered the world and creation began to fall apart. But as our sins are forgiven, and as we look forward to Christ's return and being with him for all eternity, we realize that God has promised us a new heaven and a new earth. God is renewing his creation. Jesus invites us to turn from selfish living and focus on God's priorities, to seek first God's kingdom, his rule, his reign, his righteousness. And sometimes in church, we might think that God's kingdom is just about the churchy things, the spiritual sounding things. But whenever the Bible talks about the coming kingdom of God, it uses this broad and expansive language, which includes every aspect of God's creation. And that can be seen in Joel chapter 2 that we read together earlier. The prophet is looking forward to the time whenever the Messiah comes and whenever the results of Israel's disobedience will finally be reversed and put right. And that putting right is not just about changing human hearts, although that is a huge part of it. That is why Jesus died. That's why his blood was shed, so that our hearts could be changed, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could rejoice in the shame being taken away. But there's also another aspect to God's restoration, that creation is renewed. It includes the land and all that's in it. And Joel speaks to the animals and the soil and the trees and the plants, all being renewed by God. Verse 22 of Joel 2, "Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches." And if you go back and look through that chapter again, you'll see all the ways that creation is being renewed by God, that he is bringing about this glorious consummation at the end. The whole passage is a promise of an abundant harvest, of nature fulfilling its original potential, every aspect of God's world being renewed. And this sense, of course, is echoed again at the end of the New Testament in the book of Revelation. Because in Revelation 22, we read about the new heaven and the new earth. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse." What a wonderful promise. That back in Genesis, the Garden of Eden was destroyed and we were banished from it because of our sin. And then at the end of Revelation, there is a new creation coming, this river flowing with the water of life, the trees yielding their fruit, not just once a year in the harvest, but month after month after month, giving us everything that we need. God is renewing his creation as he renews us in Jesus Christ. Here we see the great city, full of abundant life, bearing fruit, providing healing for all of God's creation. These are the pictures of what Jesus has in mind whenever he says to us, "Seek first God's kingdom." And that verse, "seeking first God's kingdom," just keeps cropping up at the moment in all of my thoughts and all of my studies and all of my preparation. Several times over lockdown, we've looked at that verse together, and it crops up again today as we think about the harvest. God's priorities are for the whole of creation to be restored, for the selfishness of sin to be removed, for every part to be valued and cared for. It's not just new hearts, it's not just new lives, but it's new creation as well. Right now, we have a choice about how we live in relation to God's creation. We can treat it selfishly, we can abuse it and use it for our own interests, our own convenience, our own dominance. Or we can partner with God in caring for it and renewing it, being ready to spend eternity here in the new earth that God is creating. God's not asking us to do it by ourselves. He's inviting us to be part of it with him. So today, as we give thanks for the harvest, let's remember that God cares for his creation. Let's remember also the signs that we see around us, that creation is groaning. But then also remember that God is renewing his creation and that we have this wonderful promise from him. We're going to pray together and then we're going to sing, "Come, you thankful people, come." So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your creation. We thank you for how you care for us and care for your creation. And we hear the groaning, Lord, all around us and the signs of destruction. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful promise of your renewal, that you are coming to renew us in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord, that you are renewing your creation as well. So, Lord, we come today with thanksgiving in our hearts, acknowledging the difficult times we're living in, but acknowledging that you are the Almighty, the one who is to be trusted. And so we glory in your name. Amen. As we come to the end of our Harvest Thanksgiving today, it's been a service that we didn't expect to be the way that it was. We haven't been able to do many of the things that we normally do in Harvest Thanksgiving. We haven't been able to decorate the church the way that we usually do. But we want to thank Ray and Ruth for providing these beautiful arrangements, and also the one you saw earlier in the vestibule as well, to help us see God's goodness and to focus our thoughts on God. So as we come to the end of the service, I pray God's blessing upon each one of you. As we leave this time of worship, may we tread lightly through God's creation, eyes open to see its beauty, noses alert to fragrant fruit and flowers, tongue grateful for each delicious flavor, ears listening for birdsong, the rustle of leaves and the patter of raindrops, hands open to care for the earth, hands refraining from grasping. God, send us out to tread lightly through your creation. And now we go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.